Thank you for coming. We're studying the part of forgiveness. Get to practice that this week? Anybody? Are you doing a minute? We said forgiveness means what? We try to make it easy. It meant to let it go. Thank you. Somebody's got homework done. Check them off. All right? Let it go. It's interesting. There's a story of an elderly man. He went to the doctor. And the doctor told him, this is way before medicine of today, and he told the man, he says, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, but you've been diagnosed from a dog bite, you have rabies. I would suggest, because we don't have any medicine to cure that, you need to get your affairs in order. And the doctor said, I'll be back in just a minute, I've got to go out. So he left the room. The man got a piece of paper and started to write things down. Doctor came back and said, I'm glad to see you listen to my advice and are starting to get your affairs in order and get your will on that. He said, doctor, this is not my will and this is not my affairs. He said, well, what is it? He said, it's a list of people that I want to bite before I die. It's real easy to think like Joseph's brothers. We know if we've done somebody wrong, is it possible then that we are going to have to pay a price. And we might be worried about what we've done. Remember last week, when we talked about forgiveness, it was our responsibility as believers in Christ. We have been forgiven of our sin, no matter what our sin is, no matter what we've done and how often we've done certain things, God has forgiven us. And as Christians, we are to model our life in regards to what Christ has done and forgive each other. But there's a problem sometimes, isn't there? And that's why the Lord brings up this parable. And I had not seen until the end, which I'll share with you in a little bit, is we look at certain things and we don't think about it, but then when we look at life, that's the way life is. We have been forgiven a lot, have we not? Now, you don't have to list them down, and you don't have to tell and share with anyone else, but would you admit that in your life, however many years, that you've been forgiven much? Heads nodding. And that's what we ought to remember. Next, did we deserve forgiveness for those things that we've sinned against God? Have we earned that right for forgiveness? No. It was by His, Lutherans, you ought to get this good, because it's by His grace. Remember the Sunday school, God's riches at Christ's expense? God gave His best to forgive us for all our sins. Remember 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us from the sins for today, from all our sin. It also tells us that all of us have earned a wage. The way we've lived and the way that we have our life, and because we're sinners, it says, for the wages of sin is death. That's why it's so precious that He died for you, He died for me, that we might be holy before a holy God. And that's how much God loves you, that's how much God forgave you. And so it gets to the same point as we mentioned last week. Why is it then that we will not forgive each other? Why is it we will hold a grudge? It was encouraging because last week I had people come throughout this week and say that they looked at that message and some people have dealt with things that have been going on for years. And it's interesting because we want to blame others because we don't feel the forgiveness. When God is looking at this forgiveness, He is not asking if you cannot restore the relationship, or if that thing that has caused a problem in your heart, if the person is past, or the incidents have gone, he is looking at you in harboring and being able to move on in your Christian life. You need to let it go. You've got to let it go. And there are things that don't mean that they were right that happened to you, or that somebody wasn't mean or did something wrong, but you have to learn to let it go. Somebody shared with me, a guy went to McDonald's, and as he was going through the drive-thru, a person behind him was honking the horn. Keep moving, I'm in a hurry. And so he went up to the pay to the window, he paid for his, and he paid for hers. As he moved to the next window to pick up the order, she gets to the pay the window, and she's all excited because the lady says, "Don't worry, ma'am. That gentleman who was in front of you, he took care of your meal for you." Oh, she started to wave and everything at him, try to get his attention, to thank him for the meal and everything. So when he got up to his window for paying, he said, "Ma'am, I have two receipts. I have mine that I've ordered and the car behind me. I'll take both of those orders, please." And he took them and he left. We need to get to the point, examine ourselves where we are, and wonder, is this something that is holding me back in my fellowship, in my Christian growth? And if it's an issue of forgiveness, you need to let it go. Sometimes it's parent and child, and it's been going on for years. And what you need to know and let them know in time, it's forgiven. It doesn't mean it's forgotten, but it's forgiven. It's not to stop relationships at home or in the body of Christ. We are called what? Brothers and sisters, are we not? And it ought to be a family. And we ought to treat each other as family. And we ought to love each other. It was interesting because if you get the Thursday notes, a lot of you get those on email. I hope you read them. But somebody had picked out the same poet as I did. Alexander Pope said that to err is human and to forgive is divine. He made a call to the critics and the writers not to forget their humility when they're judging situations and judging others. It's interesting because we hear so many times how somebody hurt somebody else, or how I'm going through something and that hurt me, or that stopped me in my Christian growth, or I'm still dealing with it. Wouldn't you rather hear some stories about forgiveness? And when something happens and we know that there is a bridge or a chasm between us, we need to go to that person, as it said last week, one-on-one, and simply say, "There's something between us. You can even mention if you know what it is, and I ask your forgiveness." Letting it go. How they respond is up to God working in their life. But it does say, as we went through last week, is that if they agree with you, and you can go ahead and mutually accept forgiveness for each other and the situation, it says you have gained your brother or you've gained your sister. Judaism taught that usually three times was enough to forgive somebody. You know, we have some laws like that, like three strikes and you're out, right? You know, hey, that's the way it is. And I think Peter would ask similar to what we say. I just want to know, how many times do I got to forgive that person? Seven times? That's better than the Jewish system, right? Lord, seven times. That seems fair, doesn't it? Anybody start putting any time? Do I ask forgiveness this day? And start putting that. And then it comes up. Jesus Bailey is telling, you know, 490 times. What did you do? Would you get your list out and check them off every time? Well, you know, the next time you offend me, you know, you're at 400 right now, so I just wanted you to know. He's basically saying, no, you can't keep score. It's always. You should always be in the spirit to forgive someone or someone else. And it's the same way with the church. If the church, our body, has a problem with somebody and there's been an issue, we should have the heart of forgiveness and restore that individual as long as they are willing to repent. You can read some of the Jewish customs in Job chapter 33, verse 29 and 30, and Amos chapter 1, 3, and Amos 2, 6. 490 times, or indefinitely, we ought to be able to do that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says to be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as what? Christ has forgiven you. Compassionate. The problem in most cases, we're not compassionate when we're dealing with folks, are we? We become a little bit angry, and in some cases, we want to get even too, right? But here it says, have compassion for one another. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. His mercies, includes his forgiveness, never come to an end. They are new every morning. Every day, God's mercy and grace is fresh and new. Every morning when we rise, we should have nothing wrong with each other, nothing wrong before God. We should bring those things to God, have his forgiveness. And at the same time, things that are bogging us or holding us down, we make sure that we have asked for forgiveness. Luke 17:3 says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, what? Forgive him. For if he sins against you seven times in a day, and he turns to you the seventh time, I repent. You must forgive him. You must let it go. Grace is not justice in the sense in our eyes. Our eyes is somebody's got to pay a price, somebody's got to do some restitution or whatever. But grace from God isn't asking you anything other than to accept the work of the cross, an act in knowing he has forgiven you. If I don't forgive, are there any repercussions? First, just so you know, it disgraces God in the way that he has treated you. When the children of God, and especially the church, don't get along, it's an act that creates bitterness. And I told some of you to read in Ruth, the book of Ruth, you see what happened with Naomi. And she said, call me bitter now. You see different people. Joseph could have been very bitter, couldn't he? Later on, go back to Genesis and read his story, how he was treated. That he was left as dead and sold. And even when he gets to a place, people forget him and others make accusations against him. The other thing that not forgiving does is it discourages the saints. This body of believers, it will affect this church if we allow bitterness to get into the church and unforgiveness. One thing we were mentioning this week as a group of us, we said, this is such a loving church. You come here and you're going to feel the love of God, yes? Yes, that's what I felt, you feel. We'd rather hear that than some other stories. We give the devil a win. Just as there's a Lord Jesus Christ, there's Satan, there's a devil. And there's nothing better for him to lose the power of the church when the church can't get along or doesn't practice forgiveness. And how can we, as a church, grow and preach the love of God and the forgiveness of sins when we won't practice it ourselves? Apologize comes from a Greek word which means to make a defense. We don't need to be making defenses and having arguments. It should be, would you forgive me? And if someone would. Remember, I told you at the end, what happened to that gentleman? The one, he went out and did not forgive the servant that he had, that owed him. And the statement was made that you were what? He was sent away for torture. Sometimes we might think, oh, does that mean that God is saying I would lose my salvation, I won't go to heaven? No. But I don't know if you've ever had this happen. Have any of you held a grudge? You don't have to shake your hands or wave your hands or shake your head. Just know in your heart. Have you done that? Or have you had a relationship that has gone on months, years, and there's been no forgiveness? It becomes torture. And what God is telling us, that if we don't get these matters straight and don't get them right, what will happen in your life? You will be tortured by it. You'll be reminded of it. You'll be angry. Your spirit will be changed in the sense it will not be working in tune with the love of Christ. And so the plea is to get it right, so you may not be tortured from the events. And that guy was not going to be freed until he could pay his debt, and he let the other gentleman be freed. We don't want to be that in the spirit, tortured by it. Warren Wiersbe says, he's a well-known pastor from Wheaton, Illinois, we reveal the true condition of our hearts by the way we treat others. When our hearts are humbled and repent, we will gladly forgive our brothers and sisters. But when there's pride and a desire for revenge, there can be no true repentance. And this means God cannot forgive. May it be that we would never be a stumbling block for someone else to grow and be the proper witness for Christ. Let us make sure that we are right with God and that we are free and we have let it go and we are not tortured by the things that we should have taken care of a day ago, a year ago. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this body of believers that will love you and want to live for you and know that by your grace, we have been saved. And now, calm each heart that's here. If there's relationships that need to be restored, give us the strength to let it go. Give it to you. If individuals or situations have occurred in someone's life and then been tortured by it, free them today by letting them let it go and give it to you. And then matters that we know that we need to deal with and the person is still alive, or maybe even in the church today, may we simply ask for forgiveness. And may we ask for it, wanting it to restore a brother or sister. And then show us the love of God in how we do it. And may we be that lighthouse, as people say as they come in. What a loving church this is. Help us to honor you in all we do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.